For many people, this time of year is an occasion for road trips up and down the coasts, across the U.S., through Europe. For Robert Castor, it was a time to venture along one of the most ancient roads of all time, the Appian Way in Italy. Castor is a classics professor at Princeton University, and he followed the entire 353 miles of the Appian Way, which runs between Rome and southeastern Italy. What Castor saw is very different from the image of the road memorialized in the epic 1951 movie Quo Vadis. In this scene, the Roman military marches along it.
This is the Appian Way, the most famous road that leads to Rome as all roads lead to Rome. On this road march her conquering legions. Imperial Rome is the center of the empire, an undisputed master of the world.
The Appian Way helped guide the expansion of the Roman Empire, and today it winds through the vineyards, olive groves, marshes, and cypress trees of the Italian countryside. In some areas, cars honk and swerve. In others, farm animals ramble along cobblestones. As Robert Castor writes in his new book, The Appian Way, Ghost Road, Queen of Roads, no road in Europe has been so heavily traveled by so many different people over so many generations. Professor Castor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Professor, this road has been around since ancient times. It's been called the Queen of Roads and one of the most important roads. Paint a picture for us of what it looks like.
Well, in some places, it's no longer there. In fact, for most of the area south of Rome, we can know pretty well where the road went. But the road itself is, generally speaking, either destroyed or buried under 10 feet or more of earth.
In fact, you have a picture in your book of a big overgrown field, and the caption
yes.
says, Via Appia, but you can't see any road.
Nope, all you can see is wheat, and that's probably true of upwards of 90% of the road.
But in some places, it's very urban and, as you discovered, a little dangerous.
Well, the first 2 miles of the Appian Way leading out of Rome, I would not recommend anybody try to walk unless they are very foolhardy or, as in my case, ignorant. In fact, if you go to the website that the Archaeological Service runs for the park of the Appian Way, you'll find that they very strongly dissuade people from walking on it. It's really pedestrian unfriendly. Traffic zipping by in both directions. There is no proper pedestrian walkway other than an area of pavement set off from the center area by a painted line. And the cars don't feel much obligation to observe that line.
Let's go back to the beginning and talk about when and why the Appian Way was built. Construction began in 312 BC. The road, as you write, was the brainchild of a mid-level politician named Appius Claudius. That's how it got its name. Mm-hmm. And he came up with this idea and imposed it on everyone, but it really wasn't entirely well received. Is that right?
No. In fact, he was harshly criticized. He was a pretty high-handed fellow, confident in himself, coming from a powerful family, and he didn't let other people's opinions deter him from what he thought was the right thing to do.
But if mostly what there had been before were footpaths, why wouldn't people embrace the idea of a direct, much more paved route down south?
Well, it was expensive, for starters. He allegedly spent down the entire treasury of Rome in order to build it or to start it. It was built in stages. But it must have become clear very quickly that it actually was a good idea because the road was continued beyond the point at which it finished by the time Appius Claudius was done.
You also write that this wasn't entirely a benevolent effort on Appius Claudius's part. He wasn't just out to improve society. He wanted to win some friends in high places.
He wanted to win some friends in high places and extend his patronage. Contracts would have been let for the work. And winning one of those contracts would have been a very advantageous thing for the person who won it. And they would be inclined to be grateful toward the statesman who enabled them to become better off. It's not a phenomenon that we are unfamiliar with in our own day.
And that worked out nicely for Appius Claudius.
It worked out nicely for him. It worked out nicely for his family. It worked out nicely, ultimately, for Rome.
You reminded us in the book that Romans didn't have jails, so criminals were either crucified for their crimes or they were forced to work. And the Appian Way was one of the worst places to work, in part because they constructed it in brutal heat. You say it was called a road of death.
It surely cost untellable numbers of human lives to build it. It runs through some very rugged country, crosses the Apennines, the main mountains that run down the center of Italy. And we're talking about a time, after all, when there were no explosives, there was no machinery. The only way that earth and an awful lot of rock could be dislodged and moved was by using iron picks and chisels and human muscle.
I'm talking with Robert Castor. He's author of The Appian Way. And Professor Castor, the subtitle of your book is Ghost Road, Queen of Roads. Why do you call it the Ghost Road?
I call it the Ghost Road because if you stand in any one place where the road still exists and just imagine the other people who would have passed by, the Roman soldiers moving south from Rome over that road, to think of small tradesmen moving south, to think of pilgrims heading toward the Holy Land in the east. All of them and many, many more would have taken that road.
Right. You write that it was used for commerce, for military, for, as you say, pilgrimages. What are some of the small details about the road that remind you of just how old it is?
I think the most striking thing about the road are the grooves left as the wheels of countless carts over countless years passed over the volcanic stone. Any place that you see a stretch of the road that still survives from antiquity, you will see these grooves. And when you consider that the grooves would have been made by wooden wheels acting on volcanic stone, it really gives pause to think how many carts had to have passed over that track to have left that impression.
There's a section in your book, and I think there's even a drawing where you talk about how complex the engineering was. This wasn't just a bunch of rocks with dirt thrown on them.
Absolutely not. They looked at it as establishing something that would stand the test of time. And so they built very carefully in three different layers of stone, and each succeeding layer was narrower than the one on which it was set. So that there was a series of embankments that were then supported with surrounding material. It was a very, very sophisticated construction.
Professor Castor, when you talk about the Romans really wanting to build this to last, the German writer Goethe had this observation about the Romans. I quote him here, "These people built for eternity. They omitted nothing from their calculations." In that sense, how does this road reflect that spirit of the Romans, of wanting things to be very long-lasting?
The Romans had a very strong sense of history, of their own history, the history of individual families. And since, at least in the classical period, the Romans had no real conception of an individual afterlife. They believed that the only way to avoid oblivion was to establish something during your lifetime that would last and carry your name. And I would imagine that in no small part, that was part of Appius Claudius's motivation for building the things that he built.
And they succeeded in doing that because this is a road that thousands of years later is still there.
There it is.
Robert Castor is a classics professor at Princeton University, and he's the author of The Appian Way, Ghost Road, Queen of Roads. Professor Castor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And we leave you with the Quo Vadis suite by Miklos Roza from the 1951 movie. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Robin Young returns on Monday. Have a great weekend, and please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.